really a big moment for Microsoft in India. You are at the largest cloud conference that the country has ever had. So welcome to this conference. And I hope during the course of the conference, you are able to see the value that Microsoft Cloud is adding to India. Today, in addition to Mr. Bhaskar Pramanik, Chairman, Microsoft India, and Mr. Karan Bajwa, Managing Director, Microsoft India, we also have our esteemed customers and partners who have joined us. I'll just introduce them to you. We have with us today Mr. Apurv Chandra, Principal Secretary, Industries, Government of Maharashtra. We also have Mr. Subramaniam Putrevu, Chief Information Officer, Mindtree. We have Mr. Soumik Goswami, National Business Development Leader, PricewaterhouseCoopers. And we have Mr. Karthi Chandramouli, Global Practice Head Cloud from Tech Mahindra. To kick off the proceedings of the day, I'll request Mr. Bhaskar Pramanik to come up on stage and address. Bhaskar.
So good morning. You know, it's always a pleasure for me to be here in Pune. How many of you were there in the morning when I did the keynote? Okay, not very many. So perhaps I was hoping I can go a little faster on the presentation so that you can get a chance to really spend some time to understand what the Cloud Acceleration Program is about. But let me just make a few opening comments, and then I'd like to really pass it on to Karan. This has been, you know, for me, Pune is what I call the epitome of what a modern city should be. I've seen it evolve over the last 35 years. I've had a close association with, in this earliest avatar, when it was actually you know, an industrial city. I mean, I still remember when I used to work for Digital, how often I used to come here, because all the well-known engineering companies, automotive companies, packaging companies were all here. Alpha Laval, Thermax Engineering, Bharat, you know, Forge, you had the Bajaj. All of them were here. And this was one of the most heavily industrialized cities in India, even in those days. It was also very similar to Bangalore because it had a very large presence of defense. So you have two commands out here, both the Army as well as the Air Force. You have a national institution like NDA. You have the Armed Forces Medical College. You also had public sector in a big way, especially DRDO labs. And then you had a very strong education system. Then on top of it, the IT industry started coming here for the right reasons, because IT follows where you have education, where you have skilled workers, where you have industry, because all of that together actually makes it a really very potent mix. And from a Microsoft perspective, I was very excited because we decided to add a little bit more masala to the mix, and we decided that we'd open up a data center here in India. So when we talk about our data centers and India as a region, one of the data centers is actually located in the city. And you know, we're very, very proud of that because we really believe that this will continue to provide the vibrancy which Pune has displayed over all these years. So really very proud that it happened here. What I'd like to do is to share with you, first of all, let me also tell you what this 25 years. We've now been in India for over 25 years. And this has been a tremendous journey for us. I think we've been part of the IT industry. We've seen it grow. It's a $150 billion industry today. But more than that, it is the impact which IT has had across government, across the social sector, and also across industry. And we feel proud that we were part of that journey. We continue to be part of that journey going forward. We are, you know, very committed to India. Our CEO has said, Satya has said very clearly that every time he visits here, he's amazed by the ingenuity of the India population and our ability to use technology to solve all our the challenges which we have as a country and a nation. What is important is that our vision, which is to help or to empower every Indian and every Indian business to reach their true potential, to do more, to be more, is something which we will continue to do. The cloud journey is one aspect of what we are doing to help realize this vision. And I want you to understand it from that context. 25 years, many milestones in India, substantial presence, substantial investments in India, and we're going to continue that. And with the cloud, it came at a very opportune moment because in a sense, we're looking to flag our next 25 years here in India. We are in a mobile-first, cloud-first world. Mobile is not necessarily about the mobile phone. It refers to the mobility of the applications and services. It's about the mobility of the individual. IT in the past was where you sat at a desk and IT came to you. Today, IT is all the time available, irrespective of what form factor, what device you have. So when we talk about a world of mobile first world, it really refers to the mobility of the application and the service and the individual. So you must look at it from that context. Number two is, we call it a cloud first world because to enable the mobility of the application and services, you need something like the cloud, which will enable you to deliver those applications and services irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what kind of workload you're trying to run, and irrespective of what kind of form factor or device which you're proposing to use. So I want you to understand that India is in the forefront of what we call the mobile first, cloud first world. If you think about the government's initiative in Digital India, if you think about JAM, JAM is all about mobile first, cloud first. It's a best example of an application which scales for the betterment of society using all these different components. J stands for Jan Dhan Yojana, A stands for the Aadhaar, unique identity, and M stands for the mobile phone. Powering that is the cloud-based infrastructure which can make that happen. I also thought it'd be important for me to explain who we are as a company. A lot of CEOs and officials whom I meet, I tell them I want to talk to you about Microsoft, and the first thing they say, oh, we know everything about Microsoft, you're the Windows company, you're the Office company. And I want you to understand that we are that, but we're much more than that. And the best way to describe who we are, and that's important for you to understand in the context of what we're going to announce today, is that we are a productivity and a platform company. A productivity for us is not just about enabling an individual and making them more efficient, not about somebody sitting and working on a spreadsheet or making a trying to put together a PowerPoint presentation. Productivity is about enabling people to do more with less. It's about making things happen. It's not just about your work, it's also when you're at leisure. And it's also about being able to do that anywhere, anytime, on any kind of device. A good example when you think about productivity is when you think about, we have a service called Cortana on our mobile phone. It's Cortana is a personal assistant. We're going to make this available not just on our phones, but it's going to be made available across all different Windows devices and also non-Windows devices. It's a personal assistant because I can actually talk to my phone and say, please call my wife, and it recognizes my wife because it actually has access to all the information I have in terms of my email, my calendar, and all my preferences, the news feeds, and it can actually then do stuff for me in advance of either my asking or when I ask. I can ask it to make an appointment for me. I can ask it to give me a reminder. I can even ask it to find out what's happening on the match in the World Cup. So we are using these kinds of technology to actually make your everyday life more useful. I was at Reliance GenNext Ventures. They had graduated 11 new startups, the first batch, which the Reliance GenNext accelerator. We are working with Reliance GenNext. In fact, it's a Reliance GenNext and Microsoft Alliance, which has helped these 11 startups to go through this acceleration phase. Each one of these had very bold ideas. Each one of these have very clearly, sharply differentiated businesses, propositions. 10 of them were consumer, and one was business related around logistics. All of them is what we call productivity. Productivity is about the individual, productivity about the groups, productivity about enterprises, and we've extended the definition of productivity to include processes. So customer relationship management, your ability to reach out to your customers, your ability to design your marketing campaign based upon the response which you're getting on the fly, that's what we call also productivity, because it enhances the productivity of the marketing process with regard to your customers. So you'll find that productivity is now much more than just working on an Excel or a spreadsheet. Now, the other part of it is a platform. Now, when you talk about Microsoft and you talk about a platform, then the first thing which comes to mind is Windows. But we've gone much beyond that. For us, it is a variety of different devices and different form factors. We're proud of the fact that Windows is one of the few platforms which extends all the way from a mobile phone to a tablet, to a PC, and all the way to a TV, and now to the Internet of Things. So you can have one common operating system, one store, one developer environment, and you can write applications across this breadth of products. We are also making the software platform, the developer platform, which can create applications and services which will run not just on Windows, but will also run on iOS and will also run on Android. So we are completely open now in terms of the platforms on which you can use our software applications and services. On the back end, on the data center side, you have the choice of building your own data centers, which is what we call the private cloud, or you could go to a company like Microsoft and access our infrastructure and our services to be able to manage and build your own platform. We call that the public cloud. So we work very heavily on that, and we're the only company where you can actually create an application and service and decide that you want to run it in your private data center, or you want to put it on the public data center, or you want to do a combination of both, which we call a hybrid cloud. Those are the platforms, the device platforms and the data center platform. But for us, platforms is more than just hardware and software. It's also about ecosystem. From the day we started as a company, our ability to work with OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, our ability to work with education, to work with developers, to work with industry associations, to work with governments, to create these ecosystems which create these applications and services and devices which power the, you know, the IT era. And that's something which we continue to nourish here in India. And that is something which we continue to nourish on a global perspective. So that's why you'll see in this conference today a large number of people who are part of the ecosystem. They are our partners, they are distributors, they are a maker of devices, they're a maker of software and applications and services. So ecosystem is very, very important, and that's why we call it a platform. What we announced over 2 years ago was the world's most comprehensive and complete cloud platform. We call it Azure. This is truly a business cloud because it has three components which all businesses require. All businesses require an application, require an infrastructure. That means they need the ability to access infrastructure and services which enables them to build application, to manage these applications, and to deploy these applications. And that's what we call Azure. They also have the need to have productivity-based solutions, and productivity which are truly cloud-based. Office 365, these are the productivity solutions which not only enable you to become more productive in your work across various different kinds of applications around collaboration, around the creation of documents and access to information, but it also has built into it those insights, predictive insights which are required. We are also building into Office 365 the whole concept of social and enterprise. And you'll hear more about this as part of the conference, and we'll be quite happy to share more details around that. So if you look at what we offer in Office 365, it is a combination of social, analytical, as well as the benefits of the cloud in terms of the kind of offerings which we have, which makes productivity that much higher. And finally, it's all about business. One of the good best examples of our business services which we provide through the cloud is CRM Online. This is the ability for a marketeer or a sales organization to be able to reach out to the customer, to be able to service them better, for a marketing manager to understand what campaigns are working and change them on the fly using the analytics and the predictive which is built into the cloud platform. So we are the only company which can provide a complete business cloud services, and across infrastructure, across productivity, and across business. There's no other company which provides all three. This is something which we've been working on over the last 2 years. It's not new. I just wanted to re-emphasize that. What, however, is new is the way in which we are seeing large enterprises, government organizations using this. It's about becoming more, making the workforce more productive. Simple example, if we could increase the productivity of the workforce in India by 10%, you could add at least 1% more to the Indian GDP. It's about new business models which couldn't have existed earlier. Again, I'll give you an example of the Reliance Gen Next. There was this one a startup which has built this little device which you plug into every car, and it tracks and monitors the performance of the car. Now, if you had a problem, it will tell you in advance. It will also tell you what are the garages and what are the workshops which are close by and what are the choices you have. Now, this is what I call a new business model. Insurance companies love it because it can monitor the car on a continuous basis. And they're saying, based on the performance or how you're driving the car, we'll most probably be able to reduce your insurance premium. That's a new business model. An insurance company which doesn't charge you a flat annual premium, but using this kind of technology is in the basis to actually give you a rate on a daily, quarterly, monthly basis based upon how well you drive. And the moment you have an accident, then they'll hike up your premium. New business models, never before possible. It's also one of the main things about the cloud is that the data you can use from multiple different sources. What we call big data, not just the data which you're generating within your organization. And you can use that to actually do predictive analytics, which is about what does this mean from a future perspective? What are the leading indicators for my business and what can I do different? In Microsoft, for example, we are actually using this kind of analytics to even solve some of our challenges around the area of compliance. What are these different transactions? If they follow these certain kind of rules, then the computer flags these off and say that these are something which you need to dive deeper in. These are things which you couldn't do before. These are the analytics and predictive intelligence which is built and machine intelligence which is built into our Azure platform. And finally, I think it's about the cost. You know, projects, and I'm not in a position to name these projects, but we've had national projects, not in India, but globally, which would have cost $200 million. Upfront investment, and they were able to put it onto a public cloud infrastructure, and then it costs less than $1 million a year. That's the kind of economics of benefit. We believe that the cloud and Azure is going to change the economics of how computing is done in India. We know that. We know that it will solve problems which we were never able to solve before. We know that it will create new kinds of organization which never existed before in India. This is, the Microsoft Cloud data center is going to make a huge difference on how we will prosper as a highly industrialized but a technology-driven country. The three things which differentiate us is hyperscale, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. Hyperscale is about size. We're changing the economics of computing. The size and scale of these data centers are something which India has not seen before, and it's unlikely we'll see for some time. These are huge, and these are huge investments. We've done this on a global basis. India is one of the 19 data regions which we have, and I'll share with you where else we have these data regions. It's all about enterprise grade, because the level of service which our customers want, whether it's government organizations, whether it's state-owned enterprises, they need that high level of security. Obviously, one of the main challenges which we have solved by setting up data centers locally is the fact that it solves this issue about data sovereignty. All data will reside within the country. You decide whether you're a government organization or a private sector enterprise, you decide where your data, and you can now store it all in India. So therefore, you fulfill all the privacy guidelines or requirements which you have as in your own organization. It will have a level of service in terms of what enterprises request, 99.99. We guarantee that. We also have the kind of service which most enterprises require, which is that they sometimes like to see a human face. And as a company, that's something which we are aware of, and that we have an organization which actually provides service at our customer's doorstep, if and when you require it. So enterprise grade is important. It's enterprise grade security, it's enterprise grade hardware, enterprise grade software, and it's also enterprise grade services and networks. It's hybrid in the sense that you can decide that you want to move and get the economies of scale by moving to the public cloud infrastructure, but you don't have to do it in day one. You can do it over a period of time. You can coexist, and you can have a hybrid solution as you move ahead. Let's talk about scale. This was the Azure footprint 12 months ago. 12 months ago, less than 12 months ago, in the month of August, our CEO, Satya, was in town, and he actually announced the fact that we were setting up our data centers in India. This was the first Make in India initiative by a large IT company, because for a software company, when you set up a data center, that is made in India. That's why you get the data sovereignty. That's why you meet all the regulatory requirements which different regulatory authorities in India require. So we were the first to make that investment to create what we call Make in India. And 12 months ago, we didn't exist as the footprint. In fact, globally, we had only about 8 data centers. These are regional data centers. 12 months later, this is the Azure footprint. We've added 2 in Australia. We've added in Japan and in China. And Singapore was already there. And we've added in India. India is now a full-fledged data region. We will be announcing and launching services by the end of this year, just as we had shared with you about in the month of August. So those services will go live around the end of this year. We now have, like I said, 19 Azure data center regions, all open for business. So this is, in a sense, a status report of where we are based on the announcement we made about 8 or 9 months ago. I also want you to understand that with these local data centers, we now offer an environment which is that if you have an application or a service, it doesn't matter on what system it has been developed on, what operating system it's been developed on, whether it's on .NET or whether it's on Python, PHP, Java, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what device you want to render it on. It doesn't matter what database you use. It doesn't matter what operating system you're using. You can take those applications and services and you can actually move it to the Azure platform. We support all of these. This is huge because not very many people are aware of this. The fact that our Azure cloud services supports any language compiler, any database, any operating system. Not very many people know about this. And I think that that is a huge opportunity for people or developers in India and for enterprises and government organizations in India. The other, I think, which is very critical and very important from even an Indian context is these three things: security, privacy, and compliance. All three are important. All our data centers are certified. They're certified to the highest standards. The latest standard which we recently met is the ISO 2018, which is focused on privacy. There is no other organization who have data centers which have qualified under the ISO 2018. We, from a data security perspective, we fulfill the HIPAA standards, the FISMA standards. So therefore, every customer knows and understands that his data is secure, that he owns the data. Nobody else can use that data. And even if he stops buying the service from us, that data is his, and he can transfer it and move it at any point of time. It's his choice. It's not that once he stops the service, he has to move everything off. Compliance. We have actually done an analysis of every single regulatory requirement in this country, whether it's the IT Act, whether it is the guidelines given by IDRBT, whether it's the guidelines given by any other body. And we have actually made sure that all our data centers comply to that. And in fact, that leads me to this. So we've set this up. We've got this infrastructure. We've told the government at the highest levels that you can use this. We've gone to banks and told them, now you can use this the data center and infrastructure and look at the economies of scale which you will get. And we've also done that with state-owned enterprises. And there have always been this challenge that, you know, is it safe? Is it secure? Is it the right time to move? And we found that while there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's also this challenge in understanding what do we need to do to take the next big bold step going forward. And that's why we announced this cloud accelerator program, and that's what this press conference is about. We have the infrastructure ready. Now it's time to get India onto the cloud. And we're making it easy by putting together this cloud accelerator program. The cloud accelerator program has three major goals. It's about driving awareness, and think of what we're doing here today as part of that in terms of the awareness of what is possible. The second is that how do you build a strategy and a blueprint to take you from where you are today to where you want to be going forward. And third, it's about driving adoption. We would like to see regulated industries like finance or government or state-owned enterprises, and even some large enterprises, we would like them to drive higher adoption because it's good for them, it's more profitable for them, and they can do things which they couldn't have done on their own. And the way we are doing this is that one is we're making it easy for them to understand and plan to make this move. We're giving them a decision framework for government and for the BFSI and for industry. We've assessed the compliance across all the, from whatever we've gleaned from all the different acts and regulatory authorities. We are enabling them, we're publishing this so that they can actually go through it themselves. And then we are giving them a simple worksheet, some case studies, and a simple worksheet so that they can go off and tick that for this application, for this kind of data, how feasible it is for me to move to the cloud, and then what are the steps required to be able to make that transition. So we are giving them a step-by-step process. We are being absolutely upfront and transparent so that they understand the regulatory requirements. We're being upfront and transparent in sharing case studies, and more important, we're giving them a worksheet so that they can go through this planning process, and we'll be there to handhold them right through. And that's why, because of the scale and the size of the opportunity, we are making sure that we have the partners who can help most of our customers and the government organizations, state-owned enterprises, banking, be able to make this transition. We are doing training through webinars. We are doing always-on partner decision-making for cloud through the cloud journey. So we are training all our different kinds of partners, partners who address SMB, partners who, the large SIs, the big data, other hosted data centers, giving them the opportunity to actually go out and support our customers who want to make this transition to the cloud. And we created two new programs, which you'll hear more about. One is called Azure Vidyapeeth, and the other one is the Guruvartha, which enables us to provide that learning to customers, to partners, and to everybody who's interested in moving to the cloud. These are some of our partners as part of our Cloud Accelerator program. You'll notice that these are some very well-known, very large, reputed SI companies. But there are also companies who are what we call born in the cloud companies who have built some very strong knowledge. I want to highlight a company called Vectorus. The CEO of this company is only, I think, under 30. He's a graduate from Bombay, and his company he founded along with his CTO, COO, who's also under 30. And I'm telling you, I have talked to these people. We have seen the kind of work they do, and they know exactly. That's why we call them born in the cloud, because they understand what this new world of the cloud is about. So we've got a mix of very highly experienced global companies, and we've also got very new, young companies who understand what it means to be in the cloud. I want to pause here, and I'll stop, and I'd like to invite Karan Bajwa, our Managing Director, and he's going to share with you more details about the Cloud Accelerator program, but through a Q&A with some of our partners who are here with us today. So, Karan.
Thanks once again, Bhaskar, and ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon. This is indeed a very proud day for us, bringing you the second Microsoft Azure conference as we get closer to the rollout of our services. Our endeavor to really create a very vibrant ecosystem of customers, partners, and what we want to do now is relate to you experiences of this ecosystem So I'm going to invite a few of our customers, partners, and government stakeholders, most importantly, as Bhaskar said, that this services of local data centers that we are announcing, or we announced and we are close to launching, opens huge opportunities for sectors that have traditionally not looked at the public cloud: government, banking, financial services, public sector. So I want to have the pleasure of inviting a few of our colleagues from the industry and government. Let me first invite Mr. Apurva Chandra, Principal Secretary, Industries, Government of Maharashtra. Please, sir. Mr. Somik Goswami, National Business Development Leader, PwC. Karthi Chandramouli from Tech Mahindra, one of our partners. And Subramaniam Putrevu, CIO of Mindtree. Please join us, please. I'm going to pose you a series of questions and interactions based on your own experiences of having gone to the public cloud and possible movement to the cloud, as in the case of government. So we were talking on the sidelines about a very interesting concept of what's available in the public domain through things like RTI can obviously go on to the public cloud. So I'd like your experiences of how is the government looking at the cloud, specifically the public cloud, sir. Oh, can we have a mic, please?
Yeah, thank you, Karan. I'll begin with my experience in the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas, where I was there about 2 years back. And one of the biggest successes of the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas and the oil companies is bringing on a portal all the 15 crore LPG customers. All those who are sitting in the room and they are having LPG connections, there is a common LPG portal run by the Indian Oil Corporation, Bharat Petroleum and Hindustan Petroleum Corporation. And you can go on that portal, see how many LPG cylinders you have consumed. Not only yours, anybody of your neighbors, anybody who is sitting in the room, you can have access to the LPG consumption of each and every individual. Now, when we were creating this portal, questions were raised. Can we make this data available for all those? I mean, can we allow people to see the LPG consumption of others? We said this is part of RTI. Anybody can access this. And anybody who is taking subsidy from the government, that data cannot be kept secret because they are taking subsidy from the government. So we made this portal, and all the 15 crore customers are now today, it is openly available. And it revealed a huge amount of, I mean, they were very interesting stories. They were customers who had taken 1600 cylinders in a year, which means every day they were taking 5 cylinders. And that is so that led to a lot of, and then thereafter we moved to the system where now we have put a cap of 12 cylinders per customer per year. So that led to that capping also. But what I meant was that this is the data which we migrated, and this is the sort of data which doesn't have any security implications per se, because this is data which is easily available, which is accessible to everyone. So this is the sort of data which doesn't have any security implications and can be easily put on the cloud. Similarly, the land records data of the state government. Now the entire land record data, what we call Satbara in Maharashtra, has been computerized and it is available for anybody to see. So this again doesn't have any security implications. The registration of documents, that again is available for everyone to see. It is from 2002 to 2015 has already been put on a portal. It is a searchable format. And we are doing it from 1988 to 2015 now. So these are again data which anybody can see, doesn't have any security implications. These are probably the first targets which one can put on the cloud, which doesn't have much of any security implication per se. Then as we were discussing, we are moving towards smart cities. Our Aurangabad is the first city, Delhi-Mumbai Industrial Corridor. And there we are going to start very shortly now with the tenders. We have already acquired the land. So these smart city data, the kind of management, which will require, and when we are moving to a smart city, then all the utilities and everything, we don't know how it will scale up over the years, because what we are projecting now is over a 30-year perspective. But the initial for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, it will grow over a period of time. And when we don't know how it is going to scale up, so that is again, I think, is a prime data which can be really stored on the cloud. And as Bhaskar was mentioning, it will give us some a lot of saving, because otherwise we would have had to set up servers for a period, thinking for what will be required over a 30-year period, and by the time we reach that, all these servers would have already been obsolete, and we would be investing again and again for that sort of a requirement.
Okay, delighted with your perspectives. Let me move on to you, Subbu. I'll take the liberty of calling you Subbu. Okay. You've been one of the early adopters of the Microsoft Cloud. Can you give us a perspective on how that's helped you transform your business?
Sure. So Mindtree, we are a services organization, and certainly we have been growing for the last few quarters and several years. Today, if you look at our strength is 13,000 plus employees. And at a point when we thought that scale is going to be in a large manner, we felt that cloud is the right approach for us. So the first thing that we have done is to move our on-prem email to cloud. Right. So we have adopted O365, and today about 80% of our employees are on the cloud. So that is our first step towards the cloud adoption. Now, what we have done is seeing many industry solutions coming as SaaS and cloud-based solutions. Now, we have adopted them as well in our overall applications that we have rolled out for our own employees. And now, what we are embarking is to see on some of the applications which are naturally adaptable to cloud. Say, for example, we are doing video streaming within the organization, and we want to do live streaming for addressing of our employees by senior management. So now we have chosen video, Azure Media Streaming as a natural platform that we are adopting and then building solutions around that. And more for effectiveness, people are seeing that video is more adaptable in terms of how I share knowledge or how I interact with people. So that way video is becoming more and more popular, and how do we search through that is also becoming equally challenging.
Great, thank you very much. You have one of the most aggressive cloud adoption and progression strategies, so we'd love to continue the partnership there. Let me move on to Samik from PwC. First of all, it's a privilege to have you as a partner on this program, Samik. You heard Bhaskar speak about taking India on the cloud journey. How do you see the ecosystem change and contributing to this journey?
Thanks, Karan. A pleasure to be here as well as a partner. Let me wear the lens of a consultant and give you a couple of perspective what we have been seeing or hearing when we talk to the industry or clients. You know, there are two stakeholders in this whole game. One is the consumer and the service provider. Let us take an example of, you know, BFSI, which Bhaskar had in one of his slides. You know, till a few years back, the challenge of the banks used to be, how do I access consumers? And the race was to see which bank can open how many, you know, branches all across the country. You know, so a bank will announce that we are going to open a 1,000 branch in this year. Somebody would announce we are going to open 1,500 branch in a year. That whole ballgame has changed. You know, now you don't read in the newspaper that bank is going to announce physically trying to open so many branches. The whole ballgame has changed onto, you know, being online and mobile. And the challenge now is that how do I offer more and more of products and services online? How do I ensure that I'm agile and resilient and keep tweaking my product and services based on the need of the customer? And that is where the challenge is, that how do we take these customers onto the cloud journey? So, you know, most of the customers have now moved on from drawing board to actually getting into the adoption journey. Mm-hmm. And they are looking at seriously trying to deploy applications and seeking help. How do I do it? And within a very short period of time. The challenge here is that, you know, in some of these industries, you have the regulatory requirement. So as a consultant, you need to see that the framework that will help them to adopt, you know, meets all the regulatory requirements and compliance, which is going to play a major role. And they want an extremely flexible platform for this. Because if you look at, when you're trying to look at deploying so many of products and services, you are also working at the back end with a huge amount of data, because you're doing a lot of analysis that what will work for me, what will not. And you don't have an understanding of what kind of an infrastructure do I need over the next period of 6 months. It's kind of a ramping up, ramping down. So, you know, that is the journey that we need to enable the whole ecosystem into, so that you know you are paying or you are leveraging a platform based on the need that you are evolving with. And that is what is going to be, we would see as the trend happening in most of the industry. And you know, when we're talking to client, that is what we see as their adoption journey. Number two is that they want to also see that the platform that we provide to them is easy to manage. Because when I am trying to focus on my consumer and customer, I don't want to have too many dynamics being managed at the back end to know, you know, manage the SLAs. And the SLAs needs to be the headache or the, you know, night duty of someone else. So how do I adopt a platform which gives me some of these ease and peace of mind? So these are some of the trends that we are seeing. These are some of the discussions that we are engaging with customers and helping them walk the talk. And we are seeing more and more of, you know, service providers getting tuned onto the adoption journey as we go on, you know, talking to them.
Great. And with the Accelerate program, both of us have a lot of work
absolutely,
to do now.
Absolutely.
Hands full.
Absolutely.
Karthi, moving on to you. We look at TechM like an enabler, if you will. As an enabler to this cloud transformation, what's your perspective on this whole transformation around the ecosystem? And then what are the challenges you see in this?
So first of all, I would like to start saying that cloud is like a tsunami. I think we have been talking about cloud for a lot of years, and now it has actually come up. So all the enterprise, they have to drive this change internally as well as with their customers. So the enabling plays a major role in terms of driving the transformation. So if you look at the enablers that are actually going to drive this transformation, is actually like reusable process, templates, frameworks, and the flexible platform that could actually help the enterprise customers to move on to the cloud, whether it is private or public or a hybrid kind of an environment. Of late, we have seen a lot of requirements coming up in terms of driving the change in the hybrid cloud environment, where they want to actually store their data and the critical applications on their private cloud, and moving all the customer-facing CRM, ERP kind of applications onto the public platform, and overall manage the whole ecosystem. So there, I think Tech Mahindra as an organization, working closely with Microsoft, I think we will be able to drive that change in terms of bringing robust frameworks and processes based on the experience we've had with the enterprise and telcos.
Great, thank you. Coming back to Mr. Chandra once again, with the local data centers and services being offered through local data centers, do you think this will accelerate the government's own decision framework to go to the public cloud?
I'm sure it will help the government in taking such a decision, because till now there has been a lot of concern about the government data going across the Indian borders. But I'm sure that this will be of a great help in the government taking a decision.
Great, thank you. Subbu, I want to ask you a question. This is a very dynamic field, early days of the cloud, very dynamic, changing very fast. Do you have a view of your 3 to 5 year strategy of the cloud adoption?
Yes, I think, as I mentioned, we have got the early advantage in terms of understanding the benefits of moving to cloud. Now, as a strategy, we want to start with some of the easy ones to adopt into cloud. Say, for example, today some of our platforms are on Microsoft technologies, right? Say, for example, our whole internet portal is on SharePoint platform. So what we are looking at is to see how I can establish my disaster recovery in the cloud, which would give me a huge advantage in terms of not establishing yet another data center and then manage it much more efficiently.
Right?
And similarly, if I look at the footprint of our own locations, both in India and outside of India, as we grow, to even have the disaster recovery for those locations is much more easier to set up in the respective locations. Right? So that is something that we are taking as an early advantage.
Great.
And now we are embarking on looking at what would be those applications amenable to move into the cloud. And similarly, if we are developing something new, how and what we can develop in the cloud. And if we develop as a SaaS model in the cloud, even though it's an internal application that I'm developing today, if there is a potential for me to leverage a business out of that, would be another key thing that we are going to leverage. So that way we are having many of our intranet applications slowly moving into cloud space as well.
Wonderful, thank you. I promised you all that I would have a surprise question, so here goes. I'm going to ask you, Karthi, one word that comes to your mind when you think about the cloud, just one word.
Change.
Samit.
Agility.
Mr. Chandra.
Great.
Infinite resources.
Okay, I'll take the two words. And if you ask me the same question, one word that comes to my mind when I think about the cloud, it's Microsoft. Well, thank you very much, all. You've been a great set of panelists. Thank you very much, and we look forward to the partnership. Thank you.
Thanks, Karan.
We'll open for a couple of minutes for a photo opportunity before we get into the Q&A. So just give us a couple of minutes, and the photographers, may I request you to come up front?
Come, Oscar. Move in closer. Okay, I can come there. Oscar, why don't you come in the center?
Sir.
Okay, this is now on video. Okay, all right, so let me see. This is, we have to just close in a little bit. This is the, okay, I'm going to do this maybe. Can we just close in a little bit? Okay, and I want you all to say, we are at the Microsoft Cloud Conference, and I'll push you to say, we love Azure. All right, everybody's in? Okay,
is this the Cloud Conference?
And we love Azure.
We love Azure.
Thank you.
Karan and
Haskell,
if you could stay, and
everybody
else, if you could be here.
That's okay.
Data center in Pune, can you share with us some details you announced? Anything you can share?
You know, that's about all we can share with you at the present moment. It's part of the overall India region plan. Obviously, we have data centers which provide failover and support, so one of them is situated in Pune.
Hi, quick question. Last year during the conference, Microsoft did share the SMB numbers that are coming on to Azure. Could we have an update on that first?
Yes, okay, I can do that. I think the numbers continue to grow. We continue to be on the triple digit, 100 plus percent year-over-year growth trajectory, and continue to drive in line with the publicly announced numbers around the cloud growth that we are foreseeing. So we are absolutely on the track, growing faster than 100 plus percent over the last 12 months as well.
Right. And from the enterprise point, I just wanted to know, you do have a couple of examples here, but from an adoption point, do we see them more in the private cloud, or is it the public cloud, or the hybrid, as you stated?
Okay. Do you want to take this, or should I?
No, I'm quite comfortable. So actually, it's all. So let me just give you some numbers. So at the present moment, the overall cloud is in terms of overall numbers, most analysts will give you that number, it's about 400 million. The total size of the IT market in India today is about 50 billion. So if you look at that in terms of the ratio, 400 million and 5 billion, yes, very clearly, a large part of the market today is still what we call private cloud. But most people have started the move towards the public cloud and using a hybrid model. Not everything will shift at the same time. Now, one example of a company which has taken a big bet to move everything onto the cloud, the public cloud, is Fortis. Fortis has taken a decision for all their hospitals in India. They're moving the hospital information systems, their accounting and billing, they're moving it into the public cloud. And we'll see more such companies going forward in future. The startups, we're seeing a lot of the startups starting using Azure. The 11 companies which were part of the Reliance GenNext, all of them were using the Azure cloud.
The only thing I'll add to that is that the one thing that has changed over the last 12 months is the mindset of people. and cloud is really the new normal, if you will. We have customers winding down data centers, as the example Bhaskar gave you. We have CEOs of very large companies calling us and saying they're not going to invest more on their on-prem data centers and everything else goes to the cloud. So it's a huge mindset change that has happened over the last 12 months. That's the one thing to note.
Differentiated
price tags.
Yes, we do. Most of the companies which go through our startup program do get X amount of hours on Azure for free. That gives them the opportunity to build the application, test it out, and then once they get to deployment, they start paying for it.
Any specific reason to launch a product in Pune?
It's not a product, and it's like I said, Pune. Because we are here, that's why I shared that with you. But these data centers are actually national in terms of their scope and capability. And there's more than one data center. One of them just happens to be in Pune.
What is Microsoft's market share currently in this
company
in the cloud?
This year, our market share in the cloud business will be more than all the other three competitors put together. So our expectation is that we will continue to maintain that lead. Our goal is not really about share, it's about making the market. I gave you an indication of what the size of the market. It's about 300 million. Analysts, 400 million. Analysts expect that it will go to something like about $7 or $8 billion over a period of time. Our goal is to try and see how we can accelerate that move going even further. So for us, it's not about share. It's about making the market, it's about creating the market, it's about developing the market, it's about helping both industry as well as government organizations, startups, the whole ecosystem to move much further to the cloud. IT usage in India is still very low. If you look at the size of our economy, it's a $1.8 trillion economy and we only consume $50 billion worth of IT services. With the cloud, the advance, given that it's on an annuity basis, our expectation is that it will actually fuel far greater consumption, far greater usage at much more affordable costs.
Questions?
Okay. So the both government, BFSI, state-owned enterprises, and a couple of other enterprises, there are concerns about the security of the data. And that's why the first thing all of them insisted on was that they needed the concept of data sovereignty. That means the data must reside in India. By opening our data centers here in India, that requirement is completely met. Then on top of it, there are other concerns around what we just talked about, privacy, compliance, and those are the other areas which they also want to be assured of, that they always know where their data is, they always know who has access or doesn't, or they can ensure that only whom they say can have access to the data. They need to make sure that all the processes are in place so that nobody can hack into their data. They want that, and that's why we set up this cloud accelerator program, so that they can understand what is being what we have done to build that security, privacy, and compliance and have that assurance. So that's why the Cloud Accelerator program is really focused on them, but we are also extending it to large enterprises who don't have that concern.
You mentioned that by the end of the year, you will have a special program for India. So are we to understand that data centers in India are going to be operational by the end of the year?
That's what I said. What I said was that by the end of this year, and we had announced this in the month of August, that our data centers will be operational by the end of this year. That means we will launch services by the end of this year. Pardon? Yeah, it's that region. India is a region. Yes. So I've been told that I'm not supposed to share that with you. I wasn't supposed to share even Pune with you. But I feel proud of the fact that it is in Pune. That's why I wanted to share it with you. So we have a total of 3 data centers which will be set up in India. We just said the services will be launched by the end of this year. They're all, all going at the same time.
End of this year, meaning fiscal or calendar year?
Calendar year.
Can you give us the dynamics of, you know, how does it work for us adopting cloud business for SMBs in terms of, I want to check, you know, the cost of moving entire thing, you know, give a sense of the cost annum per annum or whatever that scale you may have. It's not clear the economics of it, you know. As a business person, we want to go on the cloud. So therefore, how much it will cost?
Sure. So before I come to the costs, think about what SMBs need. SMB needs low cost, so low upfront investment. They need fast to deploy, low IT interventions, and they need business impact solutions because they have, you know, they need immediate business ROI from that. What the cloud does that the traditional models have not been able to do is, one, bring down the entry barrier of them adopting IT. So the color of money changes, if you will, from investing on CapEx, which is very scarce for SMBs and they find it tough to generate CapEx. They can now use a pay-per-use model that you have. Second, by the programs that we are delivering, bringing to this place along with the data centers, programs like Cloud Solution Partners, CSPs as we announced a few days ago, those are people bringing business solutions offered off the cloud. So it's not just infrastructure that can consume off the cloud, but relevant business solutions, a small ERP, a small HR system, a Salesforce automation system offered off the cloud. Now imagine, go back in the past, legacy, and if somebody had to adopt an HR system, they need an application vendor, they need to set up servers, and they need a complex IT department. All that is going away. You consume off the cloud and a service which you don't know how it integrates at the back end. You consume a service in a pay-per-use model. So this whole delivery model brings down the cost, increases the pace of deployment, and gives you business-relevant solutions. That's the big excitement we have about SMBs. Bhaskar spoke about the huge opportunity in SMBs. I think this part of the market has been literally devoid of IT, if you will. And estimates vary from 100,000 to a few hundred thousand on SMEs that consume IT, consume a large form of IT. The number of SMEs in this country, 50-plus million. Imagine the long tail that exists that can now consume in a very minimalistic intervention way. And that's the excitement we have. Did that answer your question?
Exactly.
So you wanted the cost, I understand.
Exactly.
I can give you a relative view.
Like one example, like, you know, for example, a company which has about, say, 5,000 employees.
Sure.
And they want to go onto the cloud.
Sure.
What is the cost that may incur traditional accounts, and then they want to go onto the cloud?
Sure.
And therefore, how much they will benefit?
It's very difficult because it's not 5,000. What are you consuming for those 5,000? Infrastructure, platform, applications. It's difficult to say. But as I said, the color of money changes from huge upfront investments to OPEX-based investments. And that is what excites companies. By the way, 5,000 won't be an SMB. We'd love for an SMB to be 5,000. But it's about the really few tens to 100 kind of people. Those are the range that will really get excited by this. So order of magnitude, Shrikant, I'm not sure, do we have something that we can share? Go ahead, please. Can we just complete that question? We'll come back.
Yeah, typically on an order of magnitude, if you look at any cloud adoption, the savings for an SMB solution would range between 30 to 40% just at the infrastructure level. But what Karan referred to was not just infrastructure savings, but the savings in when you get in agility, not having a management team worry about that infrastructure, savings there, and getting to market far more quicker. A lot of these SMBs want to really deploy those applications. So there are costs outside of this 30 and 40% that I'm referring to, not just at infrastructure level, but beyond that.
You want to answer the question on MOU?
Yeah, there is no MOU with any government on the cloud as of date.
How does it work? You mentioned that the government and some sectors have said not to store this data abroad, but it should be, is it possible in physically it is in the Indian geography? I mean, in today's world, I mean, how do you ensure that, in the sense that so many things are happening, banks cannot ensure theft, you know, huge. We only come to know about it when this happens.
So
you are guaranteeing, you are saying, because there was some concern from the sensitive data, I'm talking about very sensitive data, they would like, it should be within India. How does it happen, and how, do you guarantee, I mean, for them?
So it's like we said, that the data is owned by the customer. And therefore, he needs to take all the necessary precautions and processes, and we guarantee that it will be stored only in India and that only he has access to it. So we guarantee that. Now, it's like I said, there are three things to look at. One is security. So you're talking about somebody trying to hack in. That's why you have all these certifications to prevent that kind of hacking in taking place. It's not just about technology hacking. I mean, what prevents somebody to walk into a data center and take something away? So you need to have all the different processes which are required to be able to make that happen. That's why we have the ISO certification. You also have, for data security, encryption of data. That means even if somebody talks away with a hard drive, there's no way he's going to be able to access that data, right? So we know, we've been in this business. We've been providing cloud-based services to consumers for the last 20 years. We understand what it takes to run a million server data centers across the globe. And that's really is where our core competency is. We design our products from the core, from the kernel, all the way up to the application, to the network. We do provide the encryption, both while it is stored as well as how it goes across. We know this business better than anybody else, perhaps better than some of our other competitors. And that's why we can, and I'm not saying that we are guaranteeing it, but we do have a service level agreement which provides that level of trust and transparency. But, yes, so.
I also want to leave a thought with you all that really the great thing about the cloud is it democratizes IT. IT that has been available only to a select few because of either cost or huge availability of huge need for talent is now available to people who cannot hire those assets otherwise. So it democratizes IT in that sense.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't reveal that to you.
Okay, we will.
Pardon? I mean, our own. So we do have a presence out here. It's a sales and marketing operation. Most of our other investments and centers have been in Hyderabad and in Bangalore. We have nothing at the present moment. But like I said, we have invested in the data center.
We'll take one last question from there.
So you said these data centers are coming up in India. Will the VR sites be Microsoft, or will there be partnership with the data center?
No, it is all within. So we offer one complete service, which includes the fallback and the high availability, which is required. So you have to provide that. And it's across.
Okay, we will stop here.
No, that's fine. Let me know. Any other questions? Anything else which you would like to ask? Yeah, please.
Can you talk about the possible investment that Microsoft India is doing? You have three data centers, and as you said, it's going to be operationalized by the end of the calendar year, December 2000.
Yeah, it's before the end of this calendar year.
Yeah. So at the moment, you're just experimenting, is it? No.
I think you have to understand, one, the scale of these data centers, the kind of precision which is required to set this up. You've got to understand it involves everything from physical facilities to power, to electricity, to networks. It's about setting up all the different servers, the storage racks and everything else. It's then about making sure that all the services which we offer, and you know, if you go into details of the kind of services which we offer, we need to make sure that all of that is ready. It does take that kind of time. So therefore, a lot of that work has started, is now getting to fruition. We are on our time schedule, which we had set ourselves, and we will be able to launch our services before the end of the year. So the investments are huge. They're huge. And I'm telling you, I worked in this IT industry for many years. This is not the kind of investment which most IT companies can afford to make. This
and,
is huge.
And also, I think you should be...
I just want to give you an example. Globally, we have spent $4.5 billion in terms of CapEx alone to set up these 19 regions.
Excitement to what the cloud can do in this country rather than what is being invested in the data centers or the services.
Yes. No, I'm very glad. I wanted to share this with you because I feel proud. proud that we are present in this state. I have great admiration for this state. I graduated from here. I did my schooling from Bombay. I've spent nearly 20% of my life in the state of Maharashtra, and I felt so proud when we decided. And I'm telling you that this was a decision which was taken because of the merits of what Pune has to offer. So you should feel proud and privileged that it was decided that it was going to be set up here. Pardon? So we've taken the necessary precautions, but let me again tell you, in comparison, we had lots of choices. In comparison to other cities and other states, Maharashtra is great.
With big data and the cloud, yes. What kind of service opportunities does it open for businesses in India?
It's huge. I mean, we do expect big data to be a very critical component of that. That's why you've noticed that we support Hadoop, and we also support MongoDB. Those are the two most commonly used from a big data perspective, besides the traditional transactional databases like Oracle or SQL.
Can you highlight some service opportunities or new businesses that could come up into India?
You know, you're seeing that every day. Think about the new startup companies and some of them who are really at scale. Just think about e-commerce. Do you know what kind of power you require in the data centers of these companies? I mean, Snapdeal, Flipkart, and Amazon, it's huge. These are new businesses. Electronic commerce is a completely new business. How many of you have heard of a company called InMobi? InMobi is in the advertising in the mobile phone business, one of the global leading companies. What do you think is the kind of data centers and capabilities they require? If you think about Jandhan, Aadhaar, and mobility, JAM, that's what the government talked about for direct benefits transfer. What do you think is the kind of computing power which is required to be able to make that happen? You know, the principal secretary talked about every one of you must have now been able to get the first benefit of the gas cylinder subsidy. I know I've got it. Suddenly one day I got a ping and it says that, you know, so much money has been deposited in your bank. It's happening. These are new applications. I gave you the example of the accelerator. We have had 63 companies graduate from our accelerator, and then there was 11 which graduated out of the GenNext. Each one of these companies, in our case, out of the 63, two-thirds have already got funded. These are all new businesses with new ideas, new thoughts, new concepts. So we're seeing that. Plus, we are seeing traditional business actually looking at it from a different perspective. You know, Tyler will tell you, when he talks to his counterparts in large organizations who are in the marketing department, what they're doing to go out and reach out to customers and the way they're doing it today using technology is completely different. It didn't exist earlier. You couldn't do it. For example, Mahindra's, the launch of their last vehicle was completely done online using digital marketing. Okay, so every day you're seeing these new business models appear and happen. And I'm sure a lot of the folks who were here from PwC, from Tech Mahindra, and from Pricewaterhouse will be able to share what's happening here in India. It's amazing. Okay, so existing organizations, including the government, you know, I'm quite happy to share this with you. I'm sometimes scared because this time, the government is moving faster than the private sector can keep pace with it. Their ideas and their thoughts are much more faster than what I think even we can keep pace with. By setting up this infrastructure, we believe that this will create a capacity and creativity which the country needs now, so that we can move at pace. And the ideas are there in government, in private sector, in the startup ecosystem. What was missing was this kind of infrastructure. And that's why we made this investment in our 25th year. None of you guys want lunch, right? Because Karan and I are quite happy to be here.
So talking about government, you know, the whole NEGP plan, the National E-Governance Plan, right. it is surmised on, you know, a network of data centers and state data SDCs and, you know, mission mode projects and, you know, data centers for that. So don't you think that at a policy level, all of this will have to be rewritten now, you know, if the government has to look at cloud?
No, I think so.
Or is it going to be a replay of what happened in the private sector that,
no.
you know, the non-critical applications will first move and then...
Yeah, so I think, you know, running a government is a tough one. There's lots of data, lots of information which needs to be kept very securely. And sometimes the belief is that by keeping it in your own data centers is the most secure, right? So the government will take a decision on each one of these. So we've had lots of discussions, what kind of, and you know, I think the principal secretary was very clear about, you know, what can easily go onto the cloud. And then there is a lot of stuff which we know very clearly can all must remain within the government data center. So we're very clear about that. And then there is the stuff which is in the middle. And I think over a period of time, a lot of these can move into the public data center. And you know, the secretary gave you a couple of good examples on that. I think it will. There will be government data centers. It's called Project Badal, I think it is called. Yeah. Huh? Project Badal. And they have made it very clear that they will allow the participation of private sector to be part of this overall cloud. But what applications, what data reside on what is an ongoing process which we have with the government. A lot of the NEGP programs perhaps could move onto the public cloud.
And also there won't be any wasted expenditure because if you saw, I know you're referring to the state data centers that they were set up about 4 to 5 years ago. And as technology evolves, government evolves. The first thing they did is set up data centers in each state. Then they realized virtualization is a great benefit. They started creating private clouds in those data centers. Now comes the public cloud. I'm sure the government will figure out a way of leveraging their existing private cloud and the public cloud, as you said, moving applications that can easily go to the cloud. So there will be absolutely leveraging of all existing investments.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We have lunch served at the Alto Vino restaurant on the same level. There are people to guide you there. Please do join us for lunch. Thank you so much.
Never. Because otherwise we'll have to...